Hello, everybody. It is March 2nd, 2021.
Oh, Randy Pritchford.
7 o'clock p.m.
You're a liar. Thief.
And you're listening to Pay Me Money, episode 22.
You stole money from Sega, you thief. You see, this is a lot better with my idea.
This is the last time we let Mark come up with an intro bit.
This wasn't the intro bit. You stole this from me. It's just like your Randy Pritchford. So actually, it does work kind of well.
All right, Mark, why don't you tell us what you're angry about? Hold on. All right. Brian Belita, and I'm joined by Mark Bradshaw.
Hi.
And Ron Kahn.
I felt actually bad last week when I made that Hitler image for the podcast page.
No, you didn't.
I mean, I felt bad, but I did it anyway.
I love his legs. His legs are the best part.
How long did you feel bad for?
Like a minute.
Okay.
Mostly because it looked bad, but otherwise...
Long enough. Yeah. And Matt Pierce.
I swear I totally developed the Aliens Colonial Marines on a slow weekend last year.
You did the whole thing?
That's why it's so shoddy.
You just did the whole thing in your Ray Tracer.
Yeah, one weekend.
I don't know. God, that sort of amazes me, the whole Alien Colonial Marines thing. So
I think it's a what's the word you want to use for a very open secret that our studios use publisher money to make other games.
Sure, and you can get away with that as long as you're not being blatant about it and basically just steal from the other company. Because right. it's completely acceptable that, you know, if you have a development cycle where you have two games going at the same time, of course some of the money that the big production house gave you is going to be spent for your little project that you're actually going to make money off of.
Yeah. A lot of money that studios use is fungible. Like money used to keep the lights on and the water running.
Right.
You can't really tie that to one project or the other project.
And a lot of times they just get money based on like one lump sum that they use to pay everybody for the backlog to last 16 months or however long they've been working on the game. Like, I know Obsidian, they worked on in a next-gen RPG for, like, 8 months, and they didn't get anything when it was canceled.
Right. But what you can't do is decide, hey, Sega, we're going to spend the next, 7 years, 6 years, something like that.
I think this picked back up in, like, 2006.
Yeah. So a while. And we're just going to keep, like, telling you we're making this game, but the money we're using, we're going to make other games with and never make your game until the final 4 months of our contract when you're going to sue us if we don't put the game out.
To be fair, they weren't even planning to do that much.
Yes.
They just outsourced the entire thing. And it turns out the people who did make the job, I think it's called TimeGate?
Like that.
Yeah.
They were the ones who made the entire game, and they just did it incompetently. So Gearbox had to fix whatever they could.
Well, I don't know if it's entirely fair to that, because, I mean, they're not a huge studio to begin with. I mean, they basically just did a bunch of ports to start with, this third-party guy. And, you know, they had, like, it was like a situation back in the day when Atari, they handed, like, Pac-Man to some guy for 6 weeks, and he had to get Pac-Man working on the 2600. It's a situation like that. It's a shitty situation, and he shouldn't have been asked to do it. It was just incredibly poor management on Gearbox's part. And apparently, if the Reddit conversation was true, Gearbox actually went in and got rid of all the decent talent that studio had to begin with for some insane reason.
Not that they seemingly had that much talent. And apparently, they had Demiurge work on the Wii U version, which is somehow worse.
That's weird.
What's Demiurge done?
I don't know. The name sounds super familiar, but I can't. Maybe they've done some HD ports?
I'm sure this is going to be horrible. Demiurge is a concept from the Platonic, Napolitan, Middle Platonic, Napoleonic schools of philosophy.
I'm pretty sure they did it.
Yeah.
Shoot Many Robots. I don't know. I'm just looking at Demiurge's site right now.
Yeah.
Shoot Many Robots. Apparently, they did something for Borderlands. I guess probably a port as well.
Probably DLC.
Mass Effect Pinnacle Station.
So they do the shitty DLC that nobody likes.
Yeah. So we're going to hand this part of the game over to these guys. And keep in mind, Sega was really counting on this game. They dropped everything but this, Football Manager, and Sonic, and said, we're going to build our franchises off of these core titles.
Yeah.
And if you work for Relic right now, you're looking at this, just holy shit, these are the people we got involved with. We have got to find new houses that are not in Vancouver because we are about to lose our jobs as well.
To be fair, in Sega's defense here, and I think I've mentioned this last podcast, they're probably sticking with the licensed game because there's probably a penalty for not releasing it.
That's also
and also good... this game's gonna sell regardless.
Yeah, it's gonna sell on the name, even though the
Will it? Because how important is Aliens right now? I mean, how much money did Prometheus make at the end?
I don't want to say this because you're gonna get so mad, but it's gonna sell better than Bayonetta.
Yeah. Oh, I have no problem with that.
People know what Aliens is. And it's wrong that it would. It's so wrong that it would sell more than Bayonetta.
But I also question how important Aliens is in this stage. I mean, there hasn't been a great Aliens media-related thing since Aliens. Everything else has been kind of bad.
Being great doesn't really matter. How well did Prometheus do?
I don't know. That's actually a good point. I'm sorry, folks. This is terrible radio, but we're going to Wikipedia again.
No, that's good. You go for it. But I think part of it is because the majority of people that are buying games right now are people who finally remember Aliens.
Yeah, and honestly, this game really should not have been as hard to make as we did.
403 million. God.
My basis for movies is way off, so I have no idea if that's a good thing or not.
It's pretty damn good.
That's almost a $500 million. So yeah, that's pretty decent.
It hasn't been out on home video very long, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. Damn it, this is gonna sell great. Damn it.
Yep.
And you know what? You know what sucks about this? So many people are out there, they're not like us, they're not informed, or not to sound dismissive of them, but hey, let's Joe Sixpack Gamer. He's got money for like one game every 2 months. He's going to go out there. He's going to buy Alien Colonial Marines, and it's going to suck. And come November, when Microsoft and Sony are asking him to drop like $500 on the new box, he's going to look back and say, you know what? If fucking Colonial Alien Marines, they stole my money on that. Screw these guys.
He might not. I think a lot of us have. I don't know. What is it? Rose colored glasses or whatever. Rose tinted. I don't know what the fucking saying is, but I think what if Joe Gamer enjoys Alien Colonial Marines?
Then he's
What if he doesn't have as refined taste to say you, Mark, or me, or Imran, or Matt?
That's a refined taste.
Doesn't pay attention to any of the surrounding news and media and bullshit about Aliens Colonial Marines.
Also, plenty of people like Prometheus.
Exactly.
I've refused to believe that. If you're listening to this podcast right now, the thousands upon thousands of you are listening, if you like Prometheus, contact me at you're never going to get the spelling on that. Kevin M is in Mark Bradshaw at gmail.com and explain yourself because you're a liar and I hate you.
Ridley Scott's going to email you and be like, what's the deal, man?
What's the deal? Also, we want you to come on board and voice the voice of, I don't know, the new alien.
I can do something. Yeah, you pay me. Sure. I'll take your
voiceovers. Role. Mark Bradshaw voiceover actor.
Apparently, to Gearbox's credit, they did just release a patch for Aliens. So
the
maybe
I sort of dancing. Wow.
I sort of miss the days of just things not being able to be patched. Like it's just sort of. I mean, I understand there are things have become more advanced and more technological and whatever, and more complex. They've become. Much more complex, so patches are needed sometimes. But I would sort of like to see, I don't know, for like 1 month or, you know, a couple months for Steam just to go, okay, if you release a game, just no patches for this number of months and see what happens.
See, the thing is, patches are great only for people who have already bought the game, which is why I'm glad that we have them at all instead of them just saying, like, we got your money, fuck you. Because that's kind of what Ubisoft is doing with Assassin's Creed 3. Where they released two patches, but nothing got fixed that I needed to get fixed.
Yeah.
So what are the patches
And with the power of the internet and people voicing themselves and being able to speak loudly and have a lot of people hear them, it's to their benefit to keep the people happy.
I was talking with somebody the other day about how they were worried that with the used games things, we're never going to actually have like a good archive of games in the future.
Yeah.
like that these games that will only live in the time frame they live in.
I think it
occurred to me that we already have that. We already exist in a world where a game that comes out on that disc is not at all the same game that most people played.
No, and it's not been that way for a long time, and the only way you can really get away with that is to like disconnect your system from the internet.
Yeah.
Like if you bought Mass Effect 3 today, it would not be the Mass Effect 3 that I played like a year ago.
Yeah, in 20 years, no one's going to know like what the real ending to Ashura's Wrath was unless it's been archived on video.
Yeah.
Because that's tied to an account in a web server.
Right.
I want to say, yeah, I want to say that are games unique to that? Because I mean that's going to happen with ebooks, right? I mean they're going to sit there and the man is going to he's going to censor everything. And
I mean, well, you can remember. Get a single book published for like $12.
Yeah.
It's not a big like if you want to archive your book physically, you can.
Right.
You can't really do that with video games, and like it happens with movies too. Like what's all that bullshit Lucas was spouting about how oh we lost the original Star Wars?
Yeah.
How do you lose the most important thing that you've ever done?
Yeah, and it's the only other thing is that passive media, by its very nature, is just a thing that exists that can be archived. Video games, interactive entertainment, that's compiled software that needs hardware to run it.
But it's going to be a pretty weird thing if like the Loop and the PS4 actually require online connection all the time and the developer can just go in there anytime they want and just change the code around. And it's part of the EULA. You can't do anything about it.
Well, it's going to be kind of interesting if, like, Halo 2 is going to be more timeless than Destiny because Halo 2 does not require an internet connection.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't require this aspect that, you know, is very well a thing that might get shut down.
Or it will get shut down eventually. Everything that we're announcing, or not we're announcing, but we're seeing announced now that requires an online connection, that has a shelf life. It has to stop at some point.
Yeah. And then sometimes there are incredibly quick shelf lives too. Anything EA makes, they shut down the servers inside of a year.
Yeah. So. City of Heroes just shut down, didn't it?
Yeah.
A while ago, yeah. That was pretty emotional, man. Yeah.
Like, didn't they, like, re-up subscribers and stuff right before?
Or sell stuff?
I remember seeing someone get really angry about they spent a bunch of money on City of Heroes and then shut down.
Huh. No, they. I mean, it went. You know, it shifted to free to play. I forget how long before it actually shut down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they were selling stuff for. I don't know.
Is there even like a good archive of World of Warcraft now? Like, I know since Cataclysm, you like through official servers, you can't go back to that original game.
You can't. I want to say that there are like unofficial servers shards so you can go back and play old versions of the game.
Right.
You can do that with Ultima Online. You can still play, but it's a very niche market, and at the end of the day, somebody has to sit there and spend money on a rack to do that for you.
And you know, and part of this is, I remember when I can't remember what it was. It may have been, I don't know. There's some game that was coming out on PC that was like, oh, and you know, we're hosting all the servers, or you know, there are no user, you know, third party custom servers that you can host, and people were. Excuse me. People were furious.
Was that Blizzard did that one time? I want to say it was a huge developer. The Blizzard.
No, I want to say it might have been Battlefield.
Yeah.
One of the
Call of Duty. Games.
I think you're right. It was EA's Battlefield when it was one of the two. Yeah.
And
it was the Call of Duty, but it was one Battlefield or the other one that they make.
Right. So stuff like that happens. Then you have EA shutting down the servers. You know the way that people are playing this game, and meanwhile people are still playing Quake 1 online. Because they're able to host their own stuff. And I think part of that might be... I mean, I don't know. I haven't been following the whole Bungie's Destiny thing. But part of that might be one of the reasons they're not going to PC. I don't know. Just because people kind of expect to be able to host their own stuff. And
I think they're going to PC. It's Activision.
And you know, like the whole PC market has been so consolidated to the point that people won't mind. I mean, the PC people who mind are going to be the old grognards who weren't going to buy your game anyway because it's not planet side. Yeah. They're going to do it. I mean, as sad as it is, at the end of the day, we knew what you're talking about. Say, oh, if we can't run on servers, we're not buying the game. Or if we can't buy this used thing, we're not buying the game. At the end of the day, we just keep buying the games. And until there is some concerted effort on our part to put our foot down and say, no, we're tired of you taking away our rights, then it's going to keep happening.
Right.
And the guys on Yield Gap are just going to keep cheering it.
I say this about like servers and stuff, but you know, what happens if fucking Valve goes under?
Yeah.
How do I mean, you know,
they claim they're gonna release the keys, but they're what are they gonna do about THQ games?
Yeah.
There's gonna be Saints Row 3 is Steamworks. Yeah. There's no way to get another key for that.
Yeah.
And that's so many keys. They don't hold rights for anything, for any of this. How can they say they'll release the keys? How do they know what they can release the keys for at this point in time? How do they even know what keys they have?
I mean, at that point, it just... That's where piracy becomes the valid option.
And
the
where
you just download... Yeah, you download, like, Assassin's Creed 3 from Reloaded as opposed to, you know, Assassin's Creed 3 from Ubisoft.
That's always been the way, though. The pirates always have the most convenient option. They have the safest option. They have the quickest option. Yeah,
admittedly, unless it's something I bought pretty recently, chances are I'm not going to go back and play it. There aren't very many games that I do that to.
Right, and the ones you do tend to be the classics. It's like just a handful every generation.
Right, I probably replay Mirror's Edge once a year.
Sure.
Or you know, the Half-Life games, certainly whenever they're gearing up for a release of a new Half-Life episode or a game or whatever, I usually end up just being like, ah, good excuse to play through all the Half-Life games again.
The question is, are we going to see a situation where, like, let's say GOG goes under?
Yeah.
And then is there going to be like a new version of GOG that requires you to rebuy the entire library?
Right. Well, and that's I don't know. I guess I have my good old games library online. And I guess technically you could, you know, save the install files.
Yeah, but who does that? Like, one hard drive failure and that's all gone.
Right.
Well, the GOG stuff is all DRM-free though, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
But I mean, if the service goes away and you lose that file.
Ah, and you didn't back it up before then. Yeah.
Like, System Shock 2 is incredibly hard to find, and I think it just went on sale on GOG.
It did, it just went up, which is great, and is a game that people should play, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy that EA stuff is showing up on it. Is that EA holds the rights to that, right?
I feel like System Shock 2 is so weirdly screwed up in terms of rights that I have no idea. I feel like EA probably does own it.
Yeah,
but what extent that ownership means is kind of confusing.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, so these things could happen where, you know, a company shuts down the servers for a game, or you know, good old games or Valve goes under. And yes, okay, I guess I've. If that happens, I don't know how they would handle it. Maybe I will lose a bunch of games that I might not have replayed.
Right.
But I guess that's, you know, something I'm willing to be okay with instead of having, you know, I don't know how many games I have in my Steam library, 1,000 video game, you know, DVDs or boxes sitting around my house.
Yeah.
And how many of those games have you ever actually run the executable on?
It's a theoretical problem, but I mean, it's a problem that concerns me nonetheless.
Well, it's also a problem that no one else has to deal with. It's not like guys having books are going to have to sit there, well, you know, in another couple of years, the server for this book is going to become invalid, so now you can always open your book.
Right, the server.
Get out of print, some are rare, but very few ever just completely disappear.
Right, and there's a way to get that book at the end of the day. You know, even if you have to go down, break down, and get the e-book off of, you know, less than completely illegal means. Like, movie buffs don't have to deal with this crap. Everything you want is somewhere. We're the only people who have to deal with this. And
I feel like we're all assuming that the guy next to us is going to be the one that's archiving all this shit, and he's the one assuming that, like, everyone next to him is doing it.
Yeah. And it breaks down where the guy who's actually archiving it is just enormously scatterbrained idiot who has no idea what backup hard drives mean.
This is another scenario for a movie where there's, like, one guy in the universe who backed up every single Steam game. He bought everything that Steam has to offer, and he backed them all up on a hard drive.
Yep.
And then Steam goes under, and it's like a mad dash for everyone's trying to get to this guy and get their games.
And then it turns out he's been using PATA ports this entire time, and nobody can get the data off of it. It's like, shit.
It also turns out that he's the Pope.
Oh, he's the Pope.
Oh, he's the Pope.
That's why I have to stay in the Vatican, because it's the only safe place
left.
He's
the Pope, you say. Oh. He's the Pope. Cool. So Destiny, I don't know. I guess I saw like a teaser image, I think, that Imran posted, and Bungie sure loves shape things.
Bungie is really good at scale, which you notice, because, you know, that's kind of the holdover from Halo. There's just enormous space, and now just a huge golf ball on top of the city.
Right. I think my initial comment was they should just call it Sphero.
I
can't unsee the box art as a happy face.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty good. But like the crater marks on the moon or whatever.
Yeah.
On the planet.
It looks like a happy face.
I didn't actually get to see the whole video documentary thing. What is that?
You mean the Vidoc, Matt?
Whatever it is. The advertisement.
It's an MMO FPS-ish.
Well, no. I know what the game is. I just don't know what that thing on the box art is.
That's their iconic symbol. Every game has to have an iconic symbol, and that's theirs.
From what I remember when I last heard this game described, it was aliens invade, or aliens are just sort of hanging out above the Earth, and nobody knows what's up, and then another alien race comes by. It's like, hey, you guys want us to help deal with that?
An ancient evil awakens.
So, Halo.
Yeah.
Yep. Slash, I don't know. For the screenshots, it looks sort of like Killzone mixed with Halo, mixed with, what is the Dennis Dyack?
Too Human?
What?
Too Human?
Too Human, yes.
I don't know. To me, it looks like PlanetSide 2, but with driving.
Right. Permits. I think it was Mark that said Halo Side.
Yeah.
It's totally me.
Yeah.
And I would play that game. I don't mind playing that game, but I don't want to play it on an Xbox.
No, I appreciate Bungie, and they make, you know, they make solid games and stuff, but
seriously don't think you have to worry about playing that thing on an Xbox.
Well, they announced it for 360 and PS3. I think they're going to announce it come a couple of months for Xbox 3 and PS4, and then hopefully at the same time they'll just say PC.
Yeah. Well, probably. Okay. And I think we've definitely talked about this before, but it's I guess in fear of piracy or in fear of having to, you know, put it on sale or have some sort of a sale associated with it on digital distribution platforms, that they'll put it out on consoles first, make the most money out of that, and then slam a PC release for some residual money from that.
Sure. And it looks like maybe those Halo games actually are coming to Steam, so that's one thing, I guess.
Oh, no, this looks like Fez. Now it looks like Fez.
Damn you. Yeah, now it's broken. But I do like the art style, and that's one of the good things that Bungie has had in their favor, is they can make really neat universes.
But so am I, and so am I correct in thinking that, so this is like, you know, a strictly multiplayer game, kind of big open battlefields, not really a single player component of any sort?
I would imagine so, which is kind of distressing when you think that there's been a lot of that sort of game to release this generation, and
none really took off. And for me, the slim time, and I know I'm sure Matt will agree, the slim time that I have to play video games, I tend to now not spend it doing repetitive things. I mean, they could be fun. Like Left 4 Dead 2 is really fun. But, you know, if I'm playing like a different game, or if, you know, I'm playing Far Cry 3, trying to beat up the story, I'll do that instead of playing Left 4 Dead 2, because I could play Left 4 Dead 2 in perpetuity. Thank you. Perpetuity. That's a fun word to say, man. You know, but I kind of, you know, I want to make my way through these single player games, these games that have some sort of story, some sort of,
what I dislike about this sort of thing, and kind of the reason why I left like MMOs to begin with, I don't want to have to tie myself into a social structure to play my video games. And that's kind of what you have to have once you do this. You have to have a regular crew that you roll with so that you know you'll have a good time playing the game. Whereas
much better that way.
Yeah, and it's just a job in of itself, just keeping track of the politics of your group or your guild or whatever.
Right, and then this kind of happened even just with anything that has some sort of RPG aspect. Some handle it better than others, but you know, if you have any sort of leveling, you know, like my brother and I, we played Diablo 3 together, Borderlands 2. You know, there are times where like he would have more time to play games because he doesn't have a baby.
Right.
And, you know, so he would outlevel me or whatever, and then I'd either be left behind or, you know, he'd have other people
have to play with. Not have fun when you play
with
him.
And then I'm like, well, you know, I only really kind of wanted to play it because I, you know, it was something I could play with my brother.
Right.
And I completely understand and agree with that.
But just trying to figure out what kind of game it is. I mean, if it's just a class-based horde shooter or whatever the heck, or it's just PlanetSide, you know, what is it doing? Of course, it's difficult to say this like a year out or 2 years out, however far along this is. But looking at this, it's difficult to say what this game does better than anything else out
there. I assume it's going to have like quests and stuff. Like, there's clearly places you can go and do things.
Right. So in that case, it's like Borderlands.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Some of these screenshots, at least of some of like the armor and stuff, reminds me of Hellgate London.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that, especially on the mask and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know, but one of the things that gets me is, I don't know, just kind of some of the quotes from like the studio's co-founder. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at a couple articles on Rock Paper Shotgun, and there's a quote here from Jason Jones, who's one of the co-founders. And let's see, we did a bunch of ambitious things on Halo deliberately to reach out to people. We limited players to two weapons. We gave them recharging health. We automatically saved and restored the games. Almost heretical things to first-person shooters at the time. We made the game run with a mouse and keyboard and now, wait, what? Oh, without a mouse and keyboard, and now right. nobody plays shooters the way they used to play them before Halo, because nobody wants to. Well, and I've been on this a long time about Halo, while being a great game, getting way much more recognition than it deserves.
Well, let's look at what he's saying though. It's like they're regenerating health and shields. Like before Halo, you were kind of stuck to picking up health packs.
Yeah.
And now the regenerating health is just, it's not even first-person shooters, in action games. You don't have to sit there and have to collect health packs or rely on a health bar. So that's true, right?
It is true.
Okay, well, you talk about the limiting yourself to like two weapons. That seems true. I mean, it seems like it's something that they're still doing in the first-person shooter area, where you have a very limited number of weapons. So I think that partially what he's saying is true, like the improvements that they made. But I think at the same time, he's kind of ignoring the 10 years of advancement that happened after Halo 2 came out. You know, you had Halo 2, which came out and did the last of these refinements, and then Call of Duty came out and all the rest of the stuff came out. And everybody just wants to play the Call of Duty type games now. So it's hard to understand exactly what it means by that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just release the game, and then I'll care what he has to say.
Yeah,
I don't think he's lying. I can certainly understand your point that he's being kind of full of himself with that. But the specifics of what he's saying aren't entirely untrue.
No, this is I'll agree with that. We should take a break.
We should take a break.
Yep. Okay. Break.
Someone was supposed to come with like the little background hymning.
I don't know what you were doing.
Wasn't that Halo? Pretty sure that was Halo.
The amount of Halo music I've committed to memory is basically nothing.
Okay, let's try this again. Start the da 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 da. I'll see what I can do here.
All right. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. That was awesome.
Please never do that again.
Sorry.
No, that was perfect. I thought that was great.
That's the limit of my Halo musical knowledge.
Thank you for backing me up, Mark.
Not a problem, dude. I'm here for you. Even if you weren't there for me with the Dishonored video, but whatever.
Oh, dang. Speaking of, go if you haven't already, go to nightbreed.com. Scroll down just a little bit and look for Imran's review of Devil May Cry. DMC Devil May Cry. D lowercase MC Devil May Cry.
Also, then totally not a review of Devil May Cry.
Right, that's the totally not a review. Because he points out some things that I don't think many people had either knew about or seen, like the fact that if an enemy's not in the camera, they won't attack you.
And just the
they just kind of deactivate. Which is
weird. I had no idea that it was so horribly anti-Semitic. That was just...
It's not anti-Semitic. It's just dumb.
Oh. I was trying to start shit.
His review. Yeah. Right, yeah.
I was trying to start like controversy so people would like...
Is Devil May Cry DMC the new Bayonetta?
Hey.
Kotaku.com. Headlines.
I feel like that's the dividing line, really, that people who haven't played like Bayonetta or other Devil May Cry games really, really like DMC.
So people are basing it based off like God of War. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, people who don't have a good point of reference.
You know what's going to be a great new point of reference here in a couple of days? A new data point for these people. Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance. No one knows how to pronounce that word.
It's a real word. It's revengeance. It just mostly fallen out of
speaking of, please tell me that I'm not the only one that follows, I guess, like the English account of Hideo Kojima.
I used to, but he tweeted about lunch too often.
It's so good. I love that. I love it so much. It's you need to. It's life-changing. Like, I think there was one, right, he posted up a picture of a hamburger that I guess maybe looked like a face, and the tweet was "Cyborg Hamburg," and that's all. I enjoyed it. That was like the quintessential.
Well, Hideo speaking Kojima. Of which, did you see that Burger King or their Twitter got hacked?
I caught that briefly today when I was doing some chores. I don't know. I guess I saw
it was really stupid and juvenile hack, but it was still pretty funny that they like changed everything to McDonald's.
I thought it just may have been like a test case for McDonald's actually buying.
This is a test of the emergency.
Yeah, and seeing we'll see how people would react to it. You know, would they freak out? Would there be rioting in the streets? Would people be pretty cool with it? So what I'm saying is McDonald's is buying Burger King exclusive.
Isn't Burger King like nowhere near the size they were 15 years ago?
Probably. Well, I guess. Remember that same thing happened to Little Caesars, and now they're popping up. They're coming back, and they do that. Like, they have the little hot and ready, like $5 for a pizza.
Yeah, but if you're paying $5 for a pizza, you're getting what you're paying for.
That's a good idea, though. They sell so many like plain pizzas. Why not just have a few ready?
Yeah.
Crazy thoughts.
That is usually the big problem with ordering a pizza. It takes like half an hour to get your damn pizza. So.
Well, I'm sure it's much faster because all they have to do is put the ketchup on the box and just send it to you.
That's a good point.
Put the ketchup on the box.
Little Caesars tastes like cardboard and ketchup.
Oh, got it. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
I wouldn't know about the Little Caesars phenomenon because we basically chase them out with fire whenever they come into New York City. So,
I remember the ads as a kid. The little guy would come out and go pizza, pizza. And yeah, it was magical.
That was how you base all your purchasing decisions as a child.
Yep.
By mascots and logos. I just
love the 80s.
Do they still do the thing where you buy one pizza and as point of policy they give you another pizza?
I don't know, but the thing that I love is that apparently it's a thing now. I guess if you're ordering a pizza online, you can put in special instructions. So people put things like draw a dinosaur on the box and there, I don't know, I guess there's entire communities, you know, devoted to posting photos of the things they get. Like some guy, I don't know, I guess asked him to pick him up a McDonald's cheeseburger on the way to delivering the pizza, and the guy did. The one was like, write a joke on the box, and somebody wrote a joke. But there have apparently been some really nice works of art on pizza boxes because somebody asked them to draw something in the special instructions.
So are pizza places going to have to start hiring dedicated artists?
I think so. It's like instead of a special instructions field, it'll be an art field. They ask us to draw something for, you know, $1 extra.
Well, you know, the problem with that is that eventually they'll just be something they put on a laser jet printer and they just mark it out to China or whatever. Say, hey, you, give me a dinosaur. And the poor little animator has to sit there and do it between, like, Simpsons sketches. Has to draw the dinosaur and send it back out to you.
Dang.
Or they could do it so you pay...
Cool job, though. You just sit there and, like, instructions for drawings come up over the internet and you draw it, like, on a tablet and hit send.
Be interesting.
I think that's Casey Green's job, actually.
Yeah, they should do too. They should make you pay a premium for like a famous webcomic artist. Yeah. Like I would pay an extra, let's say, $15 on my pizza to have like a Nedroid Beartato thing on.
Right.
There.
I think we're definitely on the cusp of what's his name? Anthony? Isn't it Anthony something?
Yeah.
I don't know, of a Nedroid Pizza Hut deal going on here.
I think
if not,
I think
we need
he
to bring this
better
attention to the
Hut.
Both of them.
I think he'd do better, way better than Pizza Hut.
Okay, like what?
I don't. No, that's actually way worse. They don't want to go into Domino's because they're crazy Republicans. So, God, I guess Pizza Hut's actually the premium chain for pizzas, right?
I maintain there was a point where Papa John's was actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Now it's dog food, but
and aren't they bigots too or something?
Yeah, well, they're huge anti-gay bigots, and yeah, they probably hate like.
And they raise the price 15 cents.
Oh, that's
because
right,
of Obama.
Because now they have to pay for health care or something.
Thanks, yeah. Obama.
Which
thanks Obama
led to a collective number of people all around the country saying, "Wait, it would only cost 15 cents to give all your people health care."
Yeah.
Why don't you just raise your prices? We'll pay 15 cents.
Yeah. What's funny is since the election, they've sent me like any number of half off coupons for Papa John's.
Yeah.
Which I'll use because like what the hell, half off pizza.
Yeah.
Hell, they gave away 2 million pizzas for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, just give away 1 million and put the money into healthcare.
Or just give them away for just sell for like 15 cents. It's like, hey, you got this pizza. This got somebody gets to have health insurance for the month. I say, okay, yeah, sure. I'll buy your 15 cent pizza. Yeah,
but isn't that going to lead to like a slippery slope where I'm just going to like
if you draw a
start hitting Papa John's cars to make sure they're using the money I'm giving them?
Yeah, it makes sense. I think I do that.
I agree. That would be pretty good.
I just wonder how far the deliver things to you thing can go. Can I tell them to get me a girl? They say, bring a redhead chick over.
Bring a yeah.
I'm pretty sure that would probably ban you from the list forever.
Yeah. Well, it would
you're
be
not allowed to order pizza anymore.
See, there used to be a thing in New York City of like
a
delivery company that would just bring you whatever. Like whatever you ask for. I assume not women, but probably like they'd say, oh, I want this video game from Toys R Us. Can you buy it and bring it to me?
Yeah, there was one during the .com bubble, I think, where you could actually tell them, hey, get me a pack of Wrigley's gum.
Yeah,
and of course,
but it was like a money. $10 charge, so that would be stupid.
Well, there was eventually a $10 charge. This is how one of those companies completely went under. It was a online supermarket where you could, have anything in the supermarket delivered for free, which led to people buying lunch that way.
Right.
Which just says that maybe we need more places delivering lunch that aren't like Pizza Hut. Of course, this isn't a problem where I live, but still, some of you people may want different delivery options.
10, 15 years ago, the whole thing with the internet was, you can have your groceries delivered to you, and I've still not found a good solution for that.
Yeah.
It seems easier to just go to Walmart and get groceries.
Yeah.
It's because you don't have Peapod.
What's Peapod?
Stop and Shop's online grocery thing. It's actually pretty good. But usually the only people who end up using it, because everybody would rather go to the supermarket and inspect the groceries they're buying, it just ends up being the housebound and elderly.
Well, can I have them like just bring a truck full of food and like
you just pick what you want?
Yeah, just do that. It's like, hey, these eggs,
like the chicken. Like one of those game party trucks, but with food.
Yeah, just with food. Yeah,
a literal game trailer.
You've never seen those before? Were they like... You have parties inside them, and they're just full of video games.
Oh, I have
they're
seen
for kids.
That, yes.
Yeah, this is not for adults, because that would be creepy.
They're for kids.
Didn't we put that on the actual game trailers thing that we were doing for a while?
Oh right, yeah, we were thinking about that for advertising for the game trailer site, because there's gonna be game-trailers and about trailers in games.
Yeah. Did we make a Tumblr for it?
I don't think so.
I think we did a hashtag or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how people do things now. Just hashtags.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have a good segue for this, but Vita Heaven.
More like Vita's gone to heaven.
I was thinking Vita Rapture because it's been left behind.
Oh, no. That's terrible. Also great.
Yes.
That's way better than my Vita Hospice idea.
So, Sony has... ideally they have this thing called Vita Heaven, which is supposed to ideally be like Nintendo Direct, where they, talk directly to people and say, here are the upcoming games and localizations and other advertising / news.
Right.
It's like Nintendo Direct or whatever?
Yeah. Well, that's... Yeah.
But done in the Sony fashion.
Yes. Right. Okay. Well, last year they quote-unquote had one, and what it was is they just released a bunch of videos on YouTube of games already known about,
right,
like a Gundam Versus game and stuff like that. And so they said, okay, after E3 we're going to do another one. We know that at E3 there wasn't a big Vita presence, so we're going to make up for that. And they announced it, they didn't have a date, and then it never happened. So it was like August, early August was the original idea, and now they announced that again yesterday for today. And then they didn't show a single new game.
Well, surely there was some other great development that would cause someone to go buy a Vita immediately, right?
They cut the price $50
in Japan.
Yes, yeah. Which I assume maybe is they're going to announce it here. Maybe they'll announce it.
Wait, didn't they do that tomorrow? just for the 3G model though?
Yes, which is being phased out eventually.
So the 3G model and the regular Wi-Fi only model are now cost exactly the same.
Yes, in a 3G model, like at some point, you're just not going to be able to buy it anymore. Right. So.
Well, the 3G model had never made any sense whatsoever. So,
yeah, so, I mean, you don't use that thing. Like, anything you can use that game or 3G for is something your phone can do better.
Yeah.
Well, once they decided they weren't going to do, like, real-time, like, multiplayer using the 3G, it's like, there's no point to this. This is stupid. Why is it just, like,
asymmetric Scrabble-style stuff?
Yeah.
That I would have been fine with, but never released those games, so, you know, what's the point of it? Right. But, yeah, they kind of whiffed that pretty hard. Like, they showed Final Fantasy X HD, but they didn't show anything from it. They showed Tidus and a summon and Yuna standing in a room. And you could, like, they panned around the models a little bit to show how improved they are.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not exactly hip with the kids anymore, but Final Fantasy X sounds like an old game, because I think we're up to, like, 14, 13, 14 now?
14's the MMO, but yeah.
Yeah. So that's like, that's a PS2 generation, like early PS2 generation game?
Yeah, it's Final Fantasy X HD, which they're also releasing for PS3, and I guess sort of plopping on the Vita as well.
Plop it.
Yep.
Just plop it.
But like, it's like,
it's been plopped. Matt, were you going to say something?
Yep.
Sorry.
But as a Vita owner, I'm like, I really just like new games announced. Just anything. I don't care. Just whatever. Throw something at the wall and see if it sticks.
But so, wasn't the stuff that they did announce, well, not announce, but you know, just reminded people that existed, weren't they like mainly Monster Hunter clones at the end of the day?
Yep, a lot of Monster Hunter clones. Like the only thing really of note was Dragon's Crown still exists.
Oh, that's great. That's terrific news. That's also for the PlayStation 3. Though.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to get it, I'll probably get it for PS3.
Yeah, no doubt. You do get a week of PlayStation Plus, a free week of PlayStation Plus, so that's great.
I was thinking about it the other day, and it seems like PlayStation Plus kind of diminishes Sony's first-party lineup in a way, because like take Sly Cooper, for example. If you were at all interested in that game and you had PlayStation Plus, why would you buy that game?
Which game again? I didn't quite miss it. Didn't quite choose.
Yeah, it'll
which
come
game?
To
no, which game?
Sly Cooper.
Oh, Sly Cooper, right.
It's a first-party Sony game, so it'll probably come to PS Plus at some point. So why pay for it now? Because, I mean, it does seem like it's a pretty double-edged sword. Why would you buy, if you're signing up for this thing and you're paying money for it, why would you buy any first-party game at that point?
Well, I can't really find the best-case scenario for playing or buying Sly Cooper to start
with. Yeah. Even yeah. Like it was $30 for both versions last week or the other day, and I was like, "Eh,
eventually
I really don't want to play that game." Right. Like eventually it'd be $20 for both versions or $10 for one version.
There's only one good Sly Cooper game though, right? Like the first one. Yeah.
Some people like the other ones, but it treaded too deep into territory I don't like. Mm. Anyway, there's also the PlayStation 4 meeting day for tomorrow.
Meeting day.
Yeah, PlayStation Event Day or Lifestyle Day or whatever the hell they're calling it, but it's PS4.
So basically, they're actually officially announcing it, like,
yeah,
but not price, not like release date or anything, just saying that this thing exists.
Yeah, price release date would probably be at E3.
Okay. Can I just say I'm hoping for the hilarity of it, I'm hoping for the worst case scenario, which is the Xbox 360 launch. I mean, granted, the Xbox 360 went on to be great.
Right.
But the launch, remember they had like some girl run out with a messenger bag and she like pulled the Xbox out of it put it on a pedestal and it lit up and that was it. Like there was that way they didn't show any games.
I remember the 360 reveal was the MTV special, Jay Allard coming out and like sitting on the floor and like typing on a Sidekick or something, and then like the text showed up on the main screen. It just had Xbox 360, and then Frodo was there, and then they had a pre-recorded video from The Killers playing.
I'm getting real tired of your shit, Mr. Frodo.
Wait a minute. That wasn't a live recording by The Killers?
No.
Oh.
It was, like, all sorts of, like, crazy background stuff.
Oh, and also they showed off footage of Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah.
And in its full, like, 2D sprite on a 3D background glory. which was still amazing.
So I know you were talking about Vita Heaven or whatever, but speaking of things where companies talk about games that are done in a, maybe a good way, the most recent Nintendo Direct, was it terrible?
That was bad.
Most recent Nintendo Direct was kind of just lackluster. I mean, there were some good announcements like Mario Golf.
But they didn't really see anything new. They announced stuff that...
I guess it was the first one that I had paid attention to. I don't know.
There was a couple of new game announcements. Which is Mario and Luigi, which is what I'm excited about.
I got my 3DS. Yeah. Whoa. So I guess I was a little disappointed with the library that was out for the 3DS after having picked mine up. But holy shit, am I excited for a new Mario Golf.
You love golf games to a rather insane degree.
I love good golf games.
So are you a Golden Tee fan?
Am I what?
A Golden Tee fan?
The bar, the arcade. The bar, no, yeah. I never played that, no.
Okay.
No, that there are a couple that have really, you know, they've clicked with me through the years. I really enjoyed the Hot Shots Golf series. You know, I had it on the PlayStation, the original PSP, and then the PS3 one, Hot Shots Golf 5, and then of course Mario Golf Toadstool Tour. I don't know what it just, you know. I guess I play golf in real life. I don't think that would have any effect on it because I got kind of really into them at a point where I really wasn't. In between a long hiatus of playing golf. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I really enjoy a good golf game.
I don't think anyone who's a fan of any specific sports games can explain why they're a fan of that sports game. It's like, I still can't explain to you why I like simulation racing games. I mean, football fans can quite explain why they're a fan of the football game.
But it still has to be a good game.
Oh, sure.
Because they're, I do parkour. The, you know, free running you've seen in the opening scene of Casino Royale, a bunch of stuff.
Right. So clearly you're a fan of Mirror's Edge, and it's hardcore. Like,
I do love Mirror's Edge, yes. But there was a game that came out that was just called Free Runner for the PSP. That was like, you know, Dave Mirra's Pro BMX or the inline skating game or any of the Tony Hawk games for parkour. And it was terrible. So it still has to be a good game. And I mean, have you ever tried playing a video golf game, everyone?
I mean, a couple, mostly of the Mario Golf variety.
Okay.
But I've also played a bit of Hot Shots and all that. And it's, I mean, I don't think they're bad. I just, golf isn't my thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
I didn't like golf games until Neo Turf Masters. Right. Actually, on the Neo Geo Pocket Color. And then later on the Neo Geo. It's kind of like I was stranded alone for a while with a Neo Geo Pocket Color. So I played that. And then
he did take you up on that recommendation.
Oh, yeah. Neo Turf Masters is awesome. But keep in mind that the arcade one is an arcade game.
Yeah.
So it's brutal and then asks you for more quarters. Yeah.
Okay. Also, I guess I should mention, and maybe this, it was just ingrained in me from a kid because I remember... You know, I don't remember how old I was, but as a very young kid, under 9 years old, playing a PGA Tour, like, I don't know, like 98 or something. No, probably older than that. I don't know. But one of like the old PGA Tour games, you know, loading it up in DOS, freaking slamming in that, you know, 5 1/4 inch floppy disk and playing, you know, hitting a square ball with my dad. So I have fond memories of it. And then maybe that just kind of set the tone. But
is there a difference between PG Tour and Lynx, or are they the same series?
They're probably different.
Yeah, Lynx has been around forever. PGA Tour, I think EA was the first to license that. And Lynx was, I want to say, Sierra.
Maybe it's Microsoft? Can't remember.
Yeah.
No, Microsoft was Microsoft Golf. Like Flight Simulator.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I mean, Mario Golf Toadstool Tour was one of the most played games in like my little group of friends in college. And so to have that kind of on a portable or just any new version, I've been clamoring for a new version of that for a really long time, ever since the Wii first came out. So I'm really happy that there's going to be a new one coming.
So yeah, PlayStation 4 meeting.
Golf.
Golf. Yes. I can't get the games.
I bet there will be a golf game there.
Probably Hot Shots Golf.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looks really great.
That depends. Do we believe the rumors that it's going to be move packed into every box?
Kinect packed into every box?
I think they will. Because if Microsoft is going to go with Kinect and Move has to be cheaper than Kinect, so yeah, they'll probably do that. Everybody will be at parity.
If they do that, one of the first things they're going to have to announce is a Hot Shots Golf.
Probably.
Surely a Move Hot Shots Golf exists by now, right?
Yeah, no. But it'd be...
Does it? I don't know if the Vita ported Hot Shots Golf supports Move.
It seems like it'd be a no-brainer, but it also seems like something that they could actually get out for launch. Like, a golf game is not so complicated that it's going to be pushed back three times before launching.
Yeah.
Though it does look like they have a Move Lite on the basic controller now.
Oh, the thing, the little, like, lighty thing?
Yeah, that light thing at the top looks like it's a thing for the camera to track.
Oh, I thought it was literally just an alarm that to use games.
Just a big snooze button.
Yeah.
Man, I hate snooze buttons. I've gotten to the point where I can't actually wake up unless my alarm clock's on the other side of the room.
I don't really use alarm clock. Just use the phone and like.
That's what I do. I use my phone as the alarm clock, and I wake up and I turn it off without realizing it.
Damn.
Well, you can set snooze alarms for your phone too. Just
yeah.
The trick is being awake enough to actually function and turn the thing on.
But yeah,
with the PlayStation
4 again. See how much we want to talk about this. I mean,
yeah.
Well, what's there to talk about really? I mean, the controller is the only thing we know about is kind of the controller. Because they're putting a stupid touchpad on the controller that's hardly large enough for your thumb, much less a screen.
It's going to be I just slide across the XMB.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's the main point.
It looks like there's a speaker grill in the front of that thing.
Which, I mean, is fine with me, because I thought the speaker stuff was actually really cool with the Wiimote. It's just kind of blatant crazy how blatant that is.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to that's what Sony does when they take an idea, they just blatantly take the idea. Like when they took the analog sticks from the N64 controller, they just took them and put two of them on it and said, fuck you.
Literally just took them and stuck them on an existing controller.
Yeah.
Where can we put these? Here? I don't know. Whatever.
And keep in mind that existing controller was the Super Nintendo controller. So Sony actually has balls with this. It's pretty great.
But the only reason it was the Super Nintendo controller is because they didn't want to have to redo everything they did for the Super Nintendo CD.
Right.
Oh, God. We're still playing the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, you're still playing that god-awful Super Nintendo controller. Yeah, pretty much. And keep in mind this controller that Sony is passing around leaked photos of. It's not actually fixed any of the issues of the PlayStation controller as it exists.
I don't know. It looks it fixes some of the issues. It's wider and chunkier.
Yeah, it's probably bigger, so you can actually hold on to it like the 360 controller. The D-pad is still god-awful because they're still using that segmented D-pad. The analog sticks are still in the wrong place. I know people don't care about this stuff, but the analog sticks are in the wrong place. Put them where your thumbs actually go, you idiots. Nobody uses face buttons anymore in 2013. Yeah. I don't think we've seen any pictures of the triggers, but if the triggers aren't fixed, then this was a stupid idea to begin with because that thing has to have good...
There was a reverse view, and it looked like it doesn't have analog triggers at all.
Oh my God. No, I don't think there was a reverse view. I tweeted something that turned out to be a PS3 controller.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
It was a prototype for that.
Well... What was that? Okay, that wasn't a reverse view of
it. Yeah, that was... So we don't know what it looks like from the back, but I'm guessing... I have to assume they're going actual full triggers.
Yeah,
because FPSs in racing games aren't going away.
Yeah, one of their biggest sellers for Sony itself is Gran Turismo, and I think, you know...
The right thumbstick as gas and brake is just... It's gotta go.
Yeah, Kaz Yamauchi himself would shoot up Sony. He would just report to work one day and murder everyone.
Who are you? We haven't seen you for years because you haven't made a game in
years. It has been years, hasn't it? It's been 3 years? Four years, right?
Yeah, at least.
Turns out he doesn't like Mondays. All right, so real quick, what do we want to stake out predictions and quickly say what we've been playing?
I'll let you guys, because I have no idea, but yes, then we can do that.
We don't know prices, so we can't, and they're not going to say prices at this event, so we can't really say that. I'm going to say they're going to go with the used game DRM that Microsoft is threatening to do, because they both have to do it.
My prediction for the event is no believable real-time footage.
Okay.
I think they're going to do a game reel like they did for the Vita, but it's going to be short and mostly masked by tech demos otherwise. And I think that they are going to outright say they are going to have say no used games is not a thing for them.
Will there be a big label that says in-game footage on the screen?
Probably, or made on a PlayStation 4.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, then. Mark, what have you been playing?
I have been, well, been playing Don't Starve for a little bit for the Illidrix Book Club coming up. Yep. Have more thoughts on that later. I'm not that's a very difficult game to figure out what it even
well, is. Yeah, we'll be talking about Don't Starve next week for when we do the Illidrix Book Club chat.
But been trying to play The Witcher 2. And, you know, I want to give every game that I play a fair chance. And I think I might hate The Witcher 2.
Well, you're terrible.
Yeah. The controls are bad. There's just too many systems in this game. And it's very difficult to keep track of. I don't know why there's like... Okay, the dude has like 5 different magic spells, but it's not intuitive as which one does what. There's okay, Igni, which is fireball. Okay, that makes sense. But the rest of them are these weird Latin names, and one of them is a shield. Can't remember what which one does the damn shield. It just has a symbol next to it. Just say shield, you assholes.
Not like Aegis or something?
I guess. I don't know.
That's a word that means shield. Okay. I think that's Greek.
Smarty. Fine.
It was in an anime.
Thanks. Now I feel terrible. Because I think it actually was Aegis. Damn it.
The early game of The Witcher 2 is actually way harder than the rest of it. Because at the beginning, if you're taking on more than one person, you're at a huge disadvantage.
That's what...
Like, even just, like, the very tutorial, there's 2 people around a catapult.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the hardest fight in the game.
Yeah, well, I said everything. I said, fuck this. It's because I got my butt handed to me in the arena. I say, screw this noise. I put everything to easy. I've just been tearing through with the swords. But just, like, simple things, like, I have no idea how are you supposed to aim a dagger in this game. Because, like, I hit the dagger button, and he just, like, flings it off into the ether. It's just gone. I don't know why...
Was the enemy on the screen?
Yeah, the enemy was on the screen, but where he threw it was, like, somewhere behind the enemy. It was weird. He actually managed to throw in a straight line behind something. I don't know how he managed to do that, but it was kind of neat. But I'm not sure he was supposed to do that. But... I don't. There's just too many things going on in this game. Maybe I'm an old man now, and I can't deal with video games, or at least Polish video games. But there's just too much stuff, and they threw
freaking video games.
Freaking video games. So I mean, I don't know why you have to have traps. You have spells that do everything, and you also have traps. Like you have like a trap, a physical trap, and you have a trap spell. Why?
To trap things.
But you have a trap spell.
I mean, usually that I use trap spells for when I run down like a corner or into a cell or something, yeah. And just lay something at the door because they have to go through there.
Yeah, oh yeah, I've been using the traps, no doubt. I've been using the traps, but I'm unsure why there has to be a physical trap and a trap spell. It just seems redundant.
Well, physical trap, I guess, is to, you know, capture animals and stuff for when you need things like that.
Well, you can just like set the animals on fire, I think.
Yeah,
it also works. But I don't know. It's just and I don't like the presentation. The presentation is very computery. It's like it really brings me out of the setting of this game. I know Skyrim's presentation was kind of bad at times, but it never pulled me out of the game. I mean, I like the universe. It's an insanely great universe. It's cool. It's unique. But it's like this the dealing with the like control of the games to get into that universe, and they just throw a bunch of stuff at you at once. And I guess that's you know this is the way PC games used to be, and this is what we ask for. You know, to kind of. Hold your hand, but I think it's overwhelming.
They kind of clean it up a little bit in the 360 version because I guess they had to.
Yeah.
So I'd say stick with it a little longer.
Yeah.
There's a really good game beneath that. It took me like 2 tries over the course of a year to actually break through that.
Yeah. Yeah, and no doubt I keep hearing that. This is a great RPG. Really need to play, and I do want to give it its fair share. So I will give it more of a chance, but I do have a problem where great games don't remind you that you'd rather be playing other games. It's like when I'm playing this, I shouldn't be reminded. Wow, I wish I was playing Skyrim of this. That shouldn't happen. A great game doesn't do that. So
I feel like that's a very Mark specific thing.
It probably is a very Mark specific thing. Man, I'd really be playing Skyrim right now. But you know why I wouldn't be playing Skyrim in a couple of days? Metal Gear Solid Revengeance. Anyway.
Revengeance.
Whatever.
Re-thingy.
Re-thinginance.
Ryan, what have you been playing?
I beat Far Cry 3.
How'd that go?
Good. I'm kind of glad to be done with it.
When did you start Far Cry 3?
A while ago. I took too long doing like a bunch of side stuff and taking over posts and stuff. And I think last week or the week before I said that my style of playing it kind of just changed. I'm speaking quietly, by the way, now because my son is asleep and I'm trying to be quiet. But
what do you podcast in the same room?
Right next door, sadly, okay. As the way our house is set up.
I imagine Brian can't really control where the baby goes at this point in time.
but I beat it, and so I guess it was like nominated for a BAFTA in writing or something.
Oh, and we need to talk about that, but yeah, go ahead.
There's a point where the character you are playing, Jason Brody, literally looks at his blood-covered hands and says, "What have I become?"
So I've heard that it tries to tackle the same thing Spec Ops does, but it does it in like a really stupid teenager like way.
And I wouldn't even give it that much credit.
Is it ironic?
But it's very silly. There's a lot of variation in like how it handles the story and what it's trying to address. You know, like, you know, you're like, oh, fuck, I have to save my friends. And then, you know, you're like really worried about them and you're like killing guys and like you skin a tiger and you're like, oh, fuck, this is disgusting. Right. And then you're like, you know, manning a turret on a boat, blowing shit up. And you're like, woohoo, this is fucking awesome. And your friend is high on weed and he's like, whoa, man.
So this is the same thing with like the new Lara Croft game, but yeah.
All that stuff would have been fine, but you know, then they've got like all this fucking Alice in Wonderland quotes and text that shows up on the screen and like loading screens, and it was trying too hard. It's still a great game, great gameplay if you just kind of try to ignore that stuff. But yeah.
It's safe to say that Ubisoft just can't make a good story.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was weird, but I'm glad to be done with it because now I can move on to something else. I'm playing a lot of Don't Starve, enjoying that, and not a whole lot else. Nope. I think I might try to start Alice Madness Returns.
It's a decent game.
Yeah. How long is it?
Roughly, I'd say 10 to 15 hours.
Okay. I think I can handle that. So I'd have that downloaded just because I was like going through my Steam list wondering, okay, what should I play after Far Cry? I was like, that might be a good game to play. That's not an FPS.
Yeah.
So, yep, that's me.
For some reason, this week I decided I was going to start playing Devil May Cry 2.
I saw that.
Don't play that game. I mean, 10 years late on this one, but don't play that game.
This is the first time you ever tried to play Devil May Cry 2?
Yes, because I wisely avoided it before, and now I had the HD collection, so I was like, why not try and play it? You know why? Because it sucks. And I finished it with both characters, because I'm an idiot.
I heard they closed the servers for that game.
I wish. So you know how Devil May Cry is an action game where you hit things with swords they die?
That's the great thing about it. There's swords, you hit things, and they die.
Yeah. With this one, you just shoot guns. Like, you can do other things, but there's no point. The guns kill everything. And there's, like, entire boss fights where you don't see the boss at all. You're just shooting guns off-screen because the camera's terrible.
Yeah, I remember watching your stream with the infested helicopter. And yep. Literally all you did was just point your guns and just didn't hold off the button.
Yep. Or the demon tank, where all I did was get in front of it and just keep slashing.
Now, did the game...
Because it couldn't... Oh, it couldn't hit me from there.
Now, did the game keep up that theme where it was just like normal everyday objects just possessed by demons?
Nope, eventually they just keep reusing the same enemies you've seen already.
See, that's sad, because that's the one thing Capcom is really good at, is like character... Well, Capcom's good at a lot of things, but that's one of the things they're very good at, is like character design and like boss design and stuff. And it's sort of depressing that they would just go very, very lazy with that.
A friend of mine showed me... They watched my stream as well. They were saying that the monkey bear thing that was like the first boss I fought is apparently from a canceled Resident Evil game.
Oh, wow.
Like they just full on took the entire model and put it into Devil May Cry 2. That game is like some weird Frankensteinian abomination.
I wonder what happened there. I mean,
the way I've heard it is that it was originally some other game. Then they realized it wasn't shaping up well, so the guy who, like, was in charge of it quit. Then Hideki Utsuno, was that his name? Itsuno in general. He was, they told him to come fix this and make it a Devil May Cry game. So he did the best he could, and then that's what came out of it.
Mm. So how is the HD collection? Is it a good collection? Good ports?
Yeah. It's very bare bones. All the menus and videos are still 4:3 and right. Don't really look that good, but you know, what are you gonna do? It's oddly rare now though. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
when I went to buy it, I couldn't find it on Amazon at all. It was only from third party sellers, so I had to buy it off Newegg.
Oh man. Now I'm kinda wondering if I missed out on it.
I'm sure you could probably still find it now.
Yeah.
Let's see. Also, I've been playing Fire Emblem.
Everybody's been playing Fire Emblem.
Yep. Like, literally almost all talk I've seen on the internet for the last 2 weeks has been about Fire Emblem.
So is there any significant difference between this Fire Emblem and other Fire Emblems?
Accessibility, I suppose. Like, you can easily put it on, like, a easier difficulty and no permadeath. Which I didn't do. I put it on hard and classic, and that's really biting me in the ass now. But yeah, it's really fun and really difficult. And like, I see people complaining, like, "Oh no, I got like, why did I lose there? All I did was put my healer somewhere dangerous, and they died."
Yeah,
it's like it's a strategy RPG. You can't do that sort of thing. It's only do whatever you want RPG.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you get that game, be careful, because you can easily find yourself frustrated if you're not paying attention.
Well, that's exactly what happened the last time I tried to play a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
Very frustrated.
Now, had you played any like Shining Force games before then? Is it your first SRPG?
Okay. Yeah, I had gotten through both Shining Force 1 and 2. It's just, I don't know why, nothing seemed to make sense to me in Fire Emblem. It's something about, I just didn't know what any of the enemy units were.
Right.
So right off the bat, the first handful of battles, I was getting crushed because I would move my characters not realizing they would be in range of other characters.
Right.
But you can actually, like, I think this has been a thing for the last couple of Fire Emblem games, but you can check their movement and attack range before you move your own.
That seems to make sense.
But yeah, like, the reason I love this game is those situations where you risk all and it succeeds. Like, you put someone in danger's way and they somehow avoid, like, 5 direct attacks with 2 HP left.
Taking the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really good game, and I'll probably talk more about it as soon as I make more progress in it. Because I've been stuck in the same chapter for about 3 days.
Have you just been restarting, or...?
Yeah, I'll get through a couple of more turns, and then something will happen that I didn't expect, like... Reinforcement will come from the fortresses.
So if you're playing in hard, are you like trying to not lose anybody?
Yeah, no one will die. I will not let anyone die.
So is it how hard is it to like? Do you have to reset before the game saves or something like that?
No, it doesn't auto save.
You don't have to go out of your way.
Yeah, I just hit LR and start a lot.
Okay, that's good.
To the point where I'm thinking about buying a 3DS XL because it has a better start button.
Nice.
All right, what have you been playing, Matt?
I only got 3 hours to play games at all this past week, and I sunk it into the last story, which, when you get far enough in that game, that battle system really clicks, and it's just a whole bunch of fun. Because you start to get a bunch of abilities that you can stack on top of each other, and then you're just tearing things apart. But, yeah, good game. I've talked about it before.
What do you think about that art that may be from a Last Roy sequel?
I don't believe it is. Because the art is labeled with the last story's original working title, the Lost World, something like that. But whatever that they wrote on the artwork is actually the original working title for the last story. So it's more likely that this is unreleased artwork and that this is kind of a prelude to them announcing that they're going to release an art book.
Okay. Like, it did seem odd that they would, like, suddenly start putting up artwork from a years-old game at this point.
No, I think sometime soon they might release an art book. Or, you know, hope against hope, they might do an HD remake for the Wii U.
Right.
That would actually be kind of cool because it runs like dog shit on the Wii.
Yeah, I saw you post like a screenshot from, I guess, the Dolphin emulator running that or something.
Yeah, it's impressive when you see that in HD, but
Granted, at 60 frames a second, I imagine too.
No, Dolphin emulator is not that fast.
Okay.
Even on a, like, I have a Quad Phenom,
right,
which is now a few years old, but still pretty damn good. Right. I can't get Twilight Princess up to full speed.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Now, you've been playing a lot. Weren't you playing the other Nintendo released?
Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles. I wanted to say Xenoblade Chronicles, yeah.
That's completely on hold until I can finish the last story.
Okay.
For someone who doesn't play many JRPGs, you've played a lot of long JRPGs recently.
I tried expanding my horizons this year, and I'm starting to realize that by changing the battle systems around, they made a bunch that I really like, but they're still just as long as they always were.
Yeah.
I still don't have the kind of time I need to play these games.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I didn't buy Ni No Kuni, because I was like, I don't really want to invest 40 hours into something right now.
At the same time, that seems like the perfect sort of game for, like, for a dad or a mom. It's like you only have, like, very, very small snatches of time. You get there and you can, like, grind through another 5 or 10 minutes of a JRPG in between naps.
Yeah. I'll say this about both Last Story and Xenoblade Chronicles, they're very generous with save points.
That's good.
Xenoblade Chronicles, you can save anywhere, anytime. Last Story, they put a save point every 5 to 10 minutes.
That's the one weird thing that JRPGs never really, I guess, only recently got around to doing. Just stop being dicks about the save points and just let you save wherever you want.
I'm
not sure why it took them so long to get around that.
Not only that, but Last Story checkpoints whenever you enter an area. So if you die in the middle of a battle, you can just go back to the last checkpoint. The saves only matter what actually gets saved to, like, your hard drive to load up later. But it's doing a quick save in the background every minute or so.
Cool.
Yep.
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 That's it.
Oh, there's a new picture of the PS4 controller.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Get, right. Come on.
We still don't see the triggers.
And it still looks like it's molded out of, like, Radio Shack Project Fox plastic.
That's prototype stuff. They probably make that out of, like, crappy plastic anyway.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's going to have a headphone port, if that's just there so they can test what comes out of the speaker in an office environment without pissing off all their coworkers.
I'm betting it comes with, like, a chintzy headset.
Yeah, that's actually probably
exactly you put a microphone on that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, non-standard headset on the PS3 probably hurt in the long run.
Yeah. And they don't want to spend money on a Bluetooth standard.
We should start blowing, like, leaks of, like, oh, new keyboard design. All right.
All right.
Good night.
Let's wrap this up.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.